Turn back with me, if you would, to Philippians 1. Philippians 1. The Apostle Paul says something in this text that I pray that God would make me say. I pray God would cause me to say this, and I pray He'd give me a heart to mean it. In verse 21, Philippians 1, verse 21, He said, "To me, to live is Christ." To me, to live is Christ. You know, the businessman says, "To me, to live is money." Right? And the educated man, the scientist, the researcher, he says, "To me, to live is knowledge." You think about Albert Einstein. To live to that man was knowledge, right? To the soldier, the true soldier, the patriot, the man who has given himself to fight for and protect his country, that man says, "To me, to live is honor." That's what he lives for. The religionist says, "To me, to live is my own self-righteousness." But Paul said, "To me, to live is Christ." And he said that right after he said the word "for." That's how verse 21 begins. "For." The word means "because." Because. "To me, to live is Christ." Now let's see why he said "for." Verse 12, he said, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Last week we looked at the things that happened to Paul. All of those horrible, what we consider to be horrible things that happened to Paul. He said, "I was whipped, I was beaten, I was stoned." But he said, "It's all okay. Every bit of that is okay. And the reason is because to me, to live is Christ." No matter what happens, God is the doer of it. And it's all for good. And it's all for the furtherance of the gospel. And it's all for the glory of God. And he said, "What more could I ask for in this life? What more could I want out of this life?" Verse 14, he said, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." He said they are starting to see that if God has given me this grace and this strength to endure this, then they can endure it too. If God gave it to Paul, they realize he can give it to us if he wants to. Now he says in verse 15, "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy." We just read this, and we read all of these different ways that these men are preaching. And for each of them, Paul says at the end of verse 18, the very end of verse 18, he said, "I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." Paul would have never rejoiced if these men, if their message and their ministry was not the free grace of God. He would have never rejoiced. We saw that in his letter to the Galatians. Look with me back in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1 verse 6. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be cursed. So the men that Paul was talking about in the text, they were preaching the truth. They were preaching the truth about man's absolute sin and God's absolute sovereignty. They preached the truth about God's right to choose whoever he wants to choose and his right to pass by whoever he wants to pass by. They preached the truth about the saving power of the blood of Christ and the keeping power of the blood of Christ. They preached the truth about who he did this for, who he came for. He did this for sinners, didn't he? And Paul said, because of that, I rejoice. I do rejoice, even though some of them preach it with envy. Go with me back to Philippians 1. Verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy. They envied the gifts and the success that God gave to Paul. And I see how the flesh does that. I completely see how the flesh does that. They were jealous. Paul, here he is in jail and he's out of the way in their minds, and now they're going to step into his shoes. They're going to go out and preach Christ and take over. Next man's coming in. Verse 15, he said, some preach it of strife. All they want to do is argue. They don't argue over substitution. They don't argue over Christ taking the place of a sinner. They don't argue over the blood of Christ. They just argue over other things. I don't like the way he handles this. I don't like his demeanor. I don't like his delivery. If he doesn't do things like I do things, he's not a good preacher and he's not a good pastor. Well, does he preach the gospel? Oh, yeah. I just don't like him. Verse 15, he said, but some preach it of goodwill. Some preach it of goodwill, saying, let's forget all this mess. Let's stay on Christ. Verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Verse 18, he said, what then? What difference does it make? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. And the reason is because, to me, to live is Christ. That's the reason. Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Here he is in prison, and he said, I know this will turn to my salvation. Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Because, to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, I want to take just a minute and look at what it means to say to live is Christ. And then I want to look at what it means to say to die is gain. What does it mean to say to live is Christ? The first thing it means is he is the source of my life. He is where my life started. Life began when Christ came to me. look with me at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again." Now, do we believe that? Do we believe that? Do we believe that if a person is going to live eternally, he must be born of God? Do we believe that in the same way we had nothing to do with our physical birth, we had nothing to do with our spiritual birth? Nothing at all. Paul said, "To me, to live is Christ." To live, for a man to live, it's Christ. It all starts with him. The next thing it means to say to live is Christ is this: He is my sustenance. He is what feeds me. He's what sustains me. How am I going to keep going? How am I going to keep going? In John 6, go over just a couple of pages to John 6, verse 51. Our Lord said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Do we believe that? Do we believe that? The Lord told Peter, he asked him this question. He said, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." He said, "Then feed my sheep." With what? Paul said, "To me, to live is Christ." If I'm going to keep going, if my life is going to continue, it's only going to be by Christ. For me, to live is Christ. Feed me, Christ. Is there anything else you want? Anything else? Is there anything else that sustains you? Is it not, the older we get, is it not becoming more and more proven to us that this is not it? We can check that off the list. This is not it. Christ is all. Christ is all. Feed me, Christ. My life came from Him. My life is sustained by Him. I'm going to give you one more. To live as Christ means He's my end goal. He is my end goal. He is my heart's desire. He's what I want. He's all I want. I love this verse of Scripture in Psalm 17. Look with me over it. Psalm 17. Psalm 17, verse 15 says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." That's all I want. That's when I'll be satisfied. When I awake with thy likeness. That is life to me. I want to be just like Jesus Christ. I want to be just like Jesus Christ. For me, to live is Christ. It's Christ. Now go with me back to our text. Verse 21, Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ." And then he said, "To die is gain." Now, why would he say that? Why would he say that? Death is loss. It's loss. We can all clearly see that. Anybody can see that. Death is loss. In death, a man loses his life. Isn't that right? He loses his breath. You see a man take his last breath, no more breathing, the breath that God gave. His eye loses its sight. His ear loses its hearing. His foot loses its movement. His heart loses its emotion completely. A man who dies loses his wife. A mother who dies loses her children. My mother said goodbye to four children before the Lord took her. I remember her laying in the hospital bed with her eyes closed. Couldn't open her eyes, telling us it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. She kept saying, "I love you. I love you all." She kept saying it over and over again. "I love you." Everything that we see in death is loss. But do you know what, and don't turn to this, do you know what 2 Corinthians 4:18 says? It says, "Believers look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." They're temporary. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." Paul says right here, if a believer can say, "To me, to live is Christ." If a believer can say that, if a believer's life is hidden in Christ, if a believer is covered in the blood of the Lamb, then he says, for that believer, to die is gain. Now, I'm going to take the rest of this message. My guess is 7 minutes. And I am going to quote to you what Charles Spurgeon said about this. It's too good to not repeat it. It's just too good. And I'm going to throw in a little bit myself too. But you need to hear what Charles Spurgeon had to say about this. It's glorious. It's absolutely glorious. He said, in everything that a believer loses on this earth, he gains far more in eternity. He said he lost his friends, did he? His family? His brethren? He said as soon as he dies, he gains infinitely more than he lost. And that's the truth. That's the truth. He gains connected relationships. We have a connected relationship. We love each other, don't we? We hug each other. We think about each other. We pray for each other. I mean, we're brothers and sisters, aren't we? Well, in glory, the man who dies gains loving, binding relationships. Connected, understanding, same page. Heart to heart relationships. And without taking our eyes off of Christ, without diminishing our love for Christ at all, because of Christ, this is all because of what He did. This is because He purposed for it to be that way. All because of Christ, here's the reality of eternity. As soon as a man leaves this world, he gains friends, he gains family, he gains loved ones that cannot be numbered. Abraham, Moses, David, Paul become that man's dear, binding, close relationships, friends. In Christ, with Christ, worshiping Christ, all because of Christ, giving glory to Christ, thanks be to Christ. Spurgeon said that man lost many believing loved ones in his life on earth. And we have, hadn't we? We lost one last week. But he said as soon as he dies, he gains them all back. He sees every one of them again. When the Lord brought Lazarus back from the dead after 4 days, he was gone for 4 days. Right? His eye didn't see, his ear didn't hear, his heart didn't beat, his feet didn't walk. He was dead. And when the Lord brought him back, Mary and Martha were the same people to Lazarus, and Lazarus was the same person to them. They picked up right where they left off. Have you ever had a really close friend that lives far away from you and you get to talk to him about once every 6 months? As soon as you get on the phone, you pick right up where you left off. Hadn't seen each other in I don't know how long. That's what it is for a believer in eternity. They know even as they were known. Exactly as they were known. They all know who they were. They all know why they're there. They all together cry unto Him that loved us and washed us, not just sinners, us, from our sins in His own blood. They know who they were. They know what they were and they know why they're there. When the Lord came back from the grave, He said, handle me, it is I myself. It's I myself. And Spurgeon said, every believing relationship that was lost on this earth is going to be waiting for us when we get there. Every single one. Every believing relationship. He said, there the mother meets her unborn infant. That mother knows. He said, there the father meets his children. He said, there the venerable patriarch, the grandfather, greets his family to the third and fourth generation. Oh, I'm so glad God saved you. He said, there brother clasps brother to his arms. The two of you guys are brothers. Can you imagine embracing in heaven? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what that's going to be like? You're going to be you, and he's going to be him. And you're going to know who you were, and you're going to know what you were, and you're going to know why you're there. And the two of you are going to embrace, saying, if God hadn't given me so much faith, I wouldn't believe it. We made it. He kept us. Christ kept us. Down here we keep saying, he'll keep us. I promise he'll keep us. Up there we're going to be saying, he kept us. He kept us. His blood actually atoned. He actually did prepare a place for both of us. We hear the truth that we're going to love everybody the same in glory. All love is the same in glory. That tears us all to pieces. That brings us so much disappointment. We hate hearing that. Crushes us. The reason is because you don't love everybody like you love him. You just don't. He's your brother. Your older brother. You look up to him. You respect him. You love him. And it's sad to think that that love may downgrade to the common love you have for everybody else. But that's not how it's going to be. The love that you have for everybody else is going to upgrade to the love that you have for him. And the love that you have for him and for everybody else is going to upgrade to the love that Christ has for us. Brethren, to die is gain. I mean, it's gain. Spurgeon said, there brother clasps brother to his arms, and husband meets with wife. No more to be married or given in marriage, but to live together like the angels of God. He said, some of us have more friends in heaven than we have in earth. He said, we have more dear relationships in glory than we have here. He said, the company of poor, imperfect saints on earth is good. This is good. The company of poor, imperfect saints on earth is good. But how much better the society of the redeemed? He said, we leave a few, a little band below, and say to them, fear not, little flock. And then we ascend and meet the armies of the living God, the host of his redeemed. He said, to die is gain. He said, a man loses his wealth, does he? Naked came I into this world. Naked I'm going to return. I'm not bringing a bit of it with me. Man loses his wealth, does he? He lost all of his estate, all of his substance. Were his fingers bright with pearls? He said, wait till he sees the pearly gates of heaven. And I'd like to add to that, wait till he sees the pearl of great price. Don't turn, but Revelation 21:21 says there are 12 gates. And each gate is made out of one pearl. And knowing our God, they're not small. Spurgeon said, had he gold in his storehouse? Mark ye the streets of heaven. Just take a look at the streets. They're all paved with gold. He said, might I die this hour, I think I would say something like this. Farewell, Sabbaths. I'm going to the eternal Sabbath of the redeemed. Farewell, minister. I don't need you anymore. I've told you before about that time I looked at Brother Cody Gruber's Spanish Bible. I wanted to see if I could recognize some of it. So I went to Psalm 23. I knew what that said. Verse 1 said, Jehovah es mi pastor. The Lord is my pastor. Spurgeon said, farewell, minister. Thank you. I don't need you anymore. The Lord is my pastor. Listen to this. Think about this. He said, farewell, ye prayers of God's people. The men just met in here, and a man read scripture and he prayed on our behalf. Just a second ago, I prayed right here on all our behalf. We gather together and we listen to each other pray to God, don't we? We pray to God and we make supplications to God on behalf of each other. He said, farewell, ye prayers of God's people. My spirit shall hear forever the intercession of my Lord. Wait till you start listening to God pray. He said, here we see through a glass darkly, but there face to face. There what eye hath not seen nor ear heard shall be fully manifest to us. He said, brethren, to die is gain. Why weep we, the saints, to heaven? Why need we lament? They are not dead. They are gone before. Stop, he said, stop that mourning. Refrain thy tears and clap your hands. Don't you love that song? It says, oh, clap your hands. You know, we don't do that here because we don't want to make a show, but it won't be a show in glory. We're going to clap our hands. God said, clap your hands. He said, what? Weep for the heads that are crowned with the glory of heaven? Weep for the eyes that see the Redeemer? Weep for the hearts that are washed from sin and are throbbing with eternal bliss? Weep for men that are in the Savior's bosom? He said, no, weep for yourselves that you are still here. Weep that the mandate has not come which bids you to die. Weep that you must tarry, but weep not for them. Don't weep for poverty that has been clothed in riches. Don't weep for sickness that has inherited eternal health. Don't weep for sinful mortality that has become immaculate. He said, weep not, but rejoice. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It is all gain. Every bit of it, it's all gain. That's glorious, isn't it? All right, let's stand together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the promise that you just gave us. Thank you for the comfort of your word. Thank you for touching our hearts, Lord. Thank you for reminding us that we belong to you. Lord, we pray that you will take your word and keep it with us. Don't let it leave us so quickly. And Lord, would you increase our faith? We stand in so much need. Lord, would you increase our faith? And would you cause us to truly look to you? Lord, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for every time that you safely bring us here. We pray, Lord, that you'll watch over each one of us. Be with our dear brother Andy as he travels. Be with him as he preaches. Be with Brother Bob this week. Lord, help these men and bless your word to the hearts of your people. We ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen. You're dismissed.